there's an African shaman who is very adored and recognized around the world, Credo Matwa. And he speaks from a very universal presence, and wherever he goes and shares truth, he's very deeply loved and celebrated. He sent out a request, a prayer, for a gathering to occur for people as much as possible to communicate around the world about gathering together to pray or focus our consciousness in peace. Now, interestingly, this coincides with many Indigenous people around the world recognizing this particular time. There's an alignment of planets, there's a very particular energy occurring, and there's a very strong recognition that we have currently a contrast of consciousness on the planet. And of course, we know what that contrast is, that we see a great amount of fear and conflict and suffering, and chaos, in a sense. You know, that life seems to be enormously complex or complicated for many. On the other hand, there seems to be a deepening wave of awakening, a deepening of the number of people who are recognizing this calling to come into greater conscious presence. So there's this contrast on the planet at the moment. And throughout many of the Indigenous cultures, it is recognized that we are now in this window of acceleration, a time of profound shift. And this particular alignment corresponds with this passage we're entering, a heightening of this time. So it's actually very important to utilize moments like this where there are planetary energetic alignments and there are dynamics going on in the collective of humanity. It's very important we utilize these moments to gather together and to focus in conscious presence. So I wanted to share some of that with you this evening. In particular, because obviously each of you in your own way have a deep commitment or allegiance to the power of love, to the power of consciousness, right? And that each of you in your own way know this power and you believe in this power's capacity. When I say this power, I'm talking about our deep essential self, consciousness. So we know our ability to be oriented in this essence in ourself facilitates us in the greatest way for peace, for love, for kindness, for a life of well-being, harmony, etc. Interestingly, though, we don't always really look very deeply into what this does mean. We talk about peace. We talk about our hope of peace, and we can talk about the nature or the essence of peace, but what does that really mean to you, to us as individuals? On the one hand, we can acknowledge and recognize that peace is the underlying essence of existence, because existence in itself is all, already is in its perfection. It is everything, and in its everything, it is one. And in that oneness, there is a totality. And within that totality, of course, there's no conflict because everything exists within it. The human mind struggles with that. It's only through the human mind that there's this perception that some things are okay and some things are not, some things are in place, some things are not. In reality, everything is perfect. So it's in the awareness of that perfection, that everything is in a unified state always, that we comprehend the peace of the universe. Now, that's all well and fine for us to be able to embrace that at whatever level, philosophically or as a direct knowingness. But what does this really mean in relation to how we live in the world? How do we translate this in our life? How do we extend this, convey this, live this, act this? That's a very different dimension of inquiry. Even for those who are well seasoned on the spiritual path or in spiritual development, this is still largely the work, largely the process. Because yes, we can silence ourselves, we can rediscover that aspect of stillness within our being and visit it, or establish a state of poise within that, perhaps momentarily. What happens though in the world of our activities and our interactions? How do you feel peace in the world, in yourself and in your life? What is it that you need to feel this peace? Now, this question leads us on quite an interesting investigation, because initially that question leads us to that superficial level of what the mind or the ego says, I need to be at peace, which of course is the very thing that keeps you from truly living and feeling peace in the world. What's underneath that? What is deeper than that? What is authentic about you being in the world? You as this instrument of energy in the world, and you interacting with the energy of life, or what you call other. So we're going to take some moments to open the way for insight in your own being, to rest deep into your being and invite this soul knowingness. What is it that perhaps you have not made contact with yet consciously? What is it perhaps you have not embodied in the most conscious way yet that allows you to actually embody this peace in the world amidst all this chaos? Forget about trying to reorganize your life or the environment. Forget about hoping for things to change in the world. What is it you need to know in yourself to be at peace with life as it is, absolutely 100% right here, right now? Not, oh, if the government changes. Not, oh, if we give up our extreme materialism. Not, oh, if we start taking better care of the environment. What is it right here, right now that asks to be seen, to be felt, to be heard, to be voiced, to be expressed, to be acted on in you, to know this peace? So let's take some moments of quiet, inward, open awareness, just allowing yourself to be present. Don't use your mind with this, just allow this open inquiry to hold a space for you here now, and that you're letting yourself into this space. You're letting yourself into this depth of presence within you that is aware. It is aware of you in this world, you as you need to be here now. So allow yourself to acknowledge whatever it is you have felt, seen or heard arising within you. As you acknowledge this, take a deep breath in, feeling the energy, the presence of this awareness within you. Allow yourself to see and feel its form, its source of energy within your being, and therefore its very presence in your life. See and feel yourself embodying this in your life. Take a deep breath now as you feel this very presence here in your being. Feel the grace alive and flowing within you and flowing into your life. Acknowledge the gift of presence and this source of truth and awareness that is within you. And take a moment to give thanks. With this gratitude, take a deep breath into your heart center, feeling the essence of peace and awareness here within you. Alive and flowing in your life. Breathe into your body. Gently stretch and open your eyes. Anyone like to share any observation or insight on what it is that reflects this capacity for you to embody peace in yourself and in the world, to bring that into the world?
I felt a nothingness, and then I felt very childlike with this nothingness, and then I felt nature, and yes, it just went along those lines, and it was really more nothingness.
So in that nothingness, did you feel just everything being as it is, would you say?
Yes, I felt a naturalness with it.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Did anyone else get... Yes.
Yeah, for me it was just remembering who I really am, that I am love and that there is only oneness, so there's no other doing anything. So it's just remembering.
Beautiful. And so in the moment that you remember that, what do you see yourself embodying? What moves through you?
Love.
Right.
Love, compassion, understanding.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, an acceptance of what simply is. And within that is a very deep trust that everything is as it needs to be. And then also a forgetting of the small self. The small self that says, things are not the way I want them to be.
So there's a silencing of that small self, the little self.
Well,
a kind
it's
of
like
just
as you remember who you are. In contrast to that is the forgetting of who you're not.
Exactly. And that goes back to, you know, I raise this so many times, this one little phrase, you cannot serve two masters. Mm. So the moment you are present to your true self, there just is not the presence of this ego self.
Yeah.
There just is not. So of course you forget it in that moment.
Yeah.
And the real reason you forget it is because it doesn't even actually really exist. It is a non-reality.
Yeah. And so within all of this there are no agendas. And so tonight when I was coming here, we were circling Sydney in the weather, and it was such a beautiful opportunity just to let it all go and to trust that I would be here on
time. Oh, you mean in the plane?
Oh, yes, tonight, yeah. And I'm here. And, you know, that could have been such a different experience had I gone the other way.
yeah, absolutely. And you still would have been here anyway.
Yeah. but also, too, within that, if you are fighting with it, are you setting up a vibrational field that then sets you up for another?
Potentially, yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And this points to what the elders and the indigenous people are saying is reflected right now, and we're seeing it in the dynamic of the collective, we're seeing it in the dynamic of nature, that very rapidly whatever we're focusing on is magnified intensely and manifested almost instantly. We're seeing a much more rapid manifestation, unfolding of whatever energy we're holding. Hence why it's so important for us to harness such crucial windows of heightened, you know, conscious energy or creative energy, because essentially that's all it is. It's a heightened field of energy. And what we put into it will let itself be known.
Just on that point, I just wanted to ask, why is it this point in time? I mean, you've alluded to some planetary alignments, but
well, look, why is this flower blooming and this one still a bud?
So it just is.
It just is. Everything in the flow of evolution just is where it is at. Past, present, future is all here now. I mean, this is a perfect example. Open flower, closed bud. That's an example of everything we see as states. We tie it into time and ask them, well, why? Because we're so fixated about time. It simply, it is. It just is. All dynamics of creation occur simply as they are because they are it.
Does it have a kind of, is this sort of a natural blooming after a state like this, or in consciousness?
Well, yes. I mean, this is even reflected in, as I've been talking about, this contrast that corresponding within this energy field of intensified conflict, intensified deconstruction, because there is actually a deconstructing process occurring, whilst at the same time there is a reawakening, which of course brings its own expression of blooming. In terms of how we see that in the collective, well, it may not be very evident at a larger scale for quite some time yet, that blooming, because we're actually really only just entering the real phase of the deconstructing.
There's also been a lot of talk about 2012 being a year of great significance. Has it got something to do with that?
Well, the reason there's been a lot of talk about that is because there are individuals who are sensitive enough to recognise the patterns that are occurring in this evolutionary process. And yes, there's a strong correspondence with 2012 really earmarking this point of entering this very heightened, intense passage. On that note, however, it's typically the human condition to exaggerate things, turn things into giant stories, hence why we have some people who believe it's, you know, this is the year of the end of the world. I mean, if we just watch evolution, we see that things take a natural course progressively. Although we can have cataclysms where things can change intensely to a large scale, there is still surrounding that this incremental process of events. So things don't just vanish instantly. You know, our monetary system isn't just going to vanish instantly, suddenly, for example. Certainly we're seeing collapse and a shifting of the power or the strength of our monetary system, what we've been attached to. But anyway, we could explore that whole series of topics for hours. So it just is as it is, perfectly here in this moment. And we're all sharing a part within this play, this stage of the journey. So then it's a matter of us being present to this truth. We are all playing a part within this play of consciousness, within this unfolding, in this here now. Each little grain of sand is determining the makeup of this mountain. So what are you determining? What are you present to? That's the invitation now. What are you being present to in yourself? And how are you being present to all the other grains? Anyone else like to share?
I'm not sure if you explain this, but can you explain the meaning of the Venus transit that's occurring, or the energy of it that's occurring next week?
Well, of course, it ushers in attentiveness to love, and at a time where there are a lot of conflicting energies surrounding that. And that's why I'm talking about this appearing contrast. But the important thing is to recognize that that intense alignment allows us to tap into the essence of ourself that is love ever more deeply. And as Serena mentioned, it's when you remember this is what you are, you remember your true self, that peace emanates into the world. At the beginning, I raised this inquiry of what does peace really mean? What do we really mean by this? Because it's not just about this nebulous essence. We talk about peace, or in philosophical terms, we talk about that, you know, it's that stillness and silence that's the essence of our being. But we're also talking about our actions in the world. So Venus is very much about this. It is about how we extend the essence of love or peace into the world.
Yes, they say it's an earth element. So it's about practical.
Yeah, practicality.
Practicality, manifesting in the physical.
Yeah. So that's exactly the point I'm making tonight. It's not enough to sit back and say, yes, we all, you know, pray for peace or we all attune to peace. That's not enough. We have to be profoundly aware of what we are embodying in ourselves and also what we are not conscious of in ourselves that we can bring into the presence of love and therefore instrument that into the world. Because actually all of the hopes and the prayers for peace are because of that, what seems to be lacking in the ability to bring forward this essence from our innermost being into the world in very practical terms. So what does that mean? That's why I've invited this inquiry this evening. It starts with you being present to yourself, being aware of yourself. What are you needing to hear in yourself, to see and to know in yourself for you to be able to act from that place so that that peace comes through you, through your actions? And of course, then we can explore what that means collectively. When we say we want peace, really it means we actually want ourselves as the individual and each other to be able to adopt that poise of conscious presence through which we speak from that space of our heart. We are in communion from the presence of our soul. As a human collective, this is what peace means. Peace comes as a human collective when we are in communion from our soul. And it will not come any other way. That's why it must begin with this communion with your own soul.
There's a lot of conflict in our world now that would suggest that we're not connected with our soul. Is that right?
Exactly the point I was making about these appearing contrasts. And this is what the elders are referring to and why it is so important that those of us who do have even a degree of awareness about the presence or the power of love actually utilize this, especially at times like this. Because the energy field of ourself, of life, of our collective is heightened. And like I said, what we put into it will make itself known. So even though there's a contrast, the truth is, if you focus your being in this essence that is true in yourself, you adopt this poise. There may be chaos going on around you, but that ego self is silenced, and the only thing that is acted, that is transmitted and conveyed through your being is love. And that then becomes heightened and magnified at this time. That becomes a very powerful transmuting power. It becomes a field that also heightens the ability for others who may be teetering on that edge to take that step in as well. So you become an instrument for others as well at this time. And as I've said before, there is no separateness in our individuation. No awakening happens in isolation. No love happens in isolation. We are affecting each and every other part of existence. So in yourself, here's a few key questions for yourself. Perhaps you may not have really heard or felt something really distinct during this space of inquiry. You may have. If you haven't, and even if you have, a couple of key things to stay focused with. that will help you keep coming back to this alignment of how you embody, convey this peace and love in the world. The first thing is, of course, that centering. Always maintain the awareness that true actions of peace are born of communion with the soul. So when you have that communion in yourself, which comes from that space of stillness and silence, you move up and outward from that depth with awareness. And think about every great master, every great being on the planet, where have their words come from? They've not come from the busyness of the mind. They've not come from the judgments about the chaos that's going on in the world. Their words have come from silence. That's why they contain so much power. If you want to be powerful in this world, you have to first learn to be silent. And the second thing is that those words must match and align with values, the core values that reflect the authentic expression of love and peace in this world. So always make it a point to keep coming back to that inquiry in yourself when it's to do with you as the person in the world, how you speak, how you act, your mental framework, what you're resting yourself on, it's values. That's it. Simple. What are your values? What are unique core values to you? How do you embody them most authentically, most truly? How do you communicate that? How do you extend that and give that in the world? And then, of course, that leads on to how do you see and hear and respect others' values? So this is then actually the layering of communion. Communion starts with our innermost being, silence. It then takes on its reference, its form, as the expression of the soul, which is conveyed through values. Those values then take on the form of your actions and your principles in the world. That's how you extend it to the world. Those values become then the interface for interaction at the surface level, and it actually invites the way for you to be able to sit truly and deeply with another. So, any of you who wonder how or why you have invited the ability to be really deeply present, maybe in silence or connected with your soul with another or others, and you wonder, why isn't it working? Why doesn't it really happen? Most likely because you haven't got that framework actually communicated or recognized at the surface level. Because most people are going to look for that at the surface level first. If a person sees that you are embodying and verbalizing, acting or conveying kindness, for example, as value, they're going to feel that and see that, and they will recognize that as the sign that they can trust to come into that deep space with you. Remember, humanity has lost trust. You've lost trust in yourself when you don't have that consistent soul communion with yourself. You actually don't have trust in yourself, let alone trust in the rest of life. So understand, these things dovetail together. You can't come at it just from one side. You can't come at it just thinking, well, if I meditate and I hold the intention of peace, all will be well and fine. You need to understand the framework of the values that you operate with and through as a human. and what your fellow humans need as that framework to recognize that authentic field of communion is possible. Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't quite understanding. I thought when you do go into when one does go into presence, that the values sort of follow.
Yes, they do.
Right.
Which is why I said it begins with soul communion. And it's very important you understand that how you want to interact that with another is not necessarily going to be recognized just through the intention of holding presence. So, for example, with your family, you've been doing a lot of meditation, you've done the presence program, you've had that realization in yourself, you've had the connection of love, but you haven't necessarily known how to voice the signals, the values that represent to your family are my values and my needs are being heard and met. Okay? There's oftentimes that's really the piece in the puzzle that's missing.
Right.
So that's why I say it's not enough that you just have this ideal or intention of being present. Yes, from that you will feel love, you will have the intention of being loving, but if you don't marry that consciously with values and know consciously how to verbalize those values and make them seen and known and be able to see and hear the other's values, something's not going to connect.
And it doesn't quite often, because that's a huge process, isn't it?
It is.
To sort of learn how to do that with
it is
all sorts of different people.
In relative terms, this is one of the most fundamental failings of our education system. Mm-hmm. In relative terms, okay? Because everything is where it is. It's all perfect. I'm saying in relation to our quest to embody a peaceful society, this is what is lacking in our basic education. Both of these elements. The ability to embody that poise of our soul, to honour and give priority to stillness and silence and being centred and coming from that space, and the ability to marry that with the framework of our life through values.
What I think I hear you saying is that when we are experiencing love and presence and all our needs being met and happiness and all of those benefits, then we have a responsibility not to hide it under a bushel or whatever the saying is, hide it away, but to share it, to share who we are and what we are. But we have a responsibility not to keep it hidden.
Exactly. And I feel that there is a degree of perhaps immaturity in the spiritual communities that people assume that just having your silence and your meditation and your intentions is enough, and that there doesn't need to be some very direct conscious application, when actually there really does need to be that direct conscious application.
Because in a way, you're not trusting that the outside is the same as the inside if you don't treat the outside in the same way as you treat the inside.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it is. I mean, there's no difference ultimately, I suppose.
Yeah. And look at what underlies the failing or the downfall of most relationships that fail. What is it? It is that lack of clarity in extending what is present here in a way that's not, you know, projected or just expected, the other person just knows anyway. It's going on in both directions. So there's this lack of clarity or extension.
So it's a lack of communication in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as much as we can feel this ultimate peace in solitude, in silence, the thing that really is the purpose of that peace or becomes the fulcrum of that peace is when that is actually extended and received and becomes an interactive field. That's when that peace has meaning. And at least for me, that is my understanding and my observation. I have been in states of sama samadhi, complete and total dissolution of any point of reference of individuation, being the totality of the vastness of consciousness. You can't even begin to describe that peace, but it means nothing for this instrument being here if I do not in some way extend that opportunity and that possibility for everyone I come into contact with.
Wow. Because I guess for a long time I've had a kind of a sense of frustration, you could say, in that finding my way to share what I have. I'm kind of waiting for that means or that thing to manifest. I've got a kind of a sense of knowing that it's going to happen, or but it seems to be sort of taking a long time to to mature. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can hear a lot of mm-mm-mms going on in the room, because everyone in their own way is actually feeling the same thing, which is why I'm really highlighting this point tonight. Right. That this is actually the avenue, is mastering the way to communicate these values, mastering the way to bring it to another person in a way that it is enjoyable, that is inspiring, that it's desirable. And through that, then, the avenue for more conscious dialogue, more conscious interaction begins to unfold.
Does that continue forever, that paradox, that desire to convey or to share or?
Well, in a sense, yes, because that is the purpose of energy manifesting. It is not to be contained, but to flow into the greater expanse of the self of the universe. So you can't not have what you might call a desire to somehow extend.
Thank you.
Because that's the purpose of this energy being alive to start with.
Mastering the way, is that through... You learn to master through being present as well, coming into presence. Is there any other way to learn to communicate these values?
Fundamentally, no. Yeah. Because as I pointed out before, all true communion starts with the communion within your soul.
So all... the way to master will come when you commune with yourself.
And that may be instrumented through interaction with another being who keeps reflecting back the way for you to deepen that. For example, you've been sharing a journey with this being, And there are points where I reflect back to you a shift of your perspective, for example, and that tweaks something else in you, and you take that back into that space of silence within you. But essentially, in terms of you becoming that clear channel of communicating, it's going to come from that poise in your being. Like I said, any and every great being we've ever seen in this world has spoken from that place, has acted from that place. That is what is mastered. And that's why I said to you, if you seek to be powerful, to communicate powerfully, or to instrument a powerful shift of peace in this world, you must first be powerful in silence. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You must know your unique attributes and what those values are that represent and are the avenue through which your unique attributes are to be brought into the world. If you're not clear on that, you are not clear on that, how are you going to communicate it to another? How are you going to extend yourself into the world?
Okay.
It certainly serves well to consider how well is that communication happening with the people who are closest in one's most immediate life. Because that's where it becomes really evident, where perhaps you're not fully consciously clear of your own values, perhaps you haven't communicated them, perhaps you haven't heard the others. That's where it becomes most evident. And I see that one of the misunderstandings most people make is in paying attention to unexpressed needs opposed to express needs. And one of the large reasons for that is comes back to the lack of clarity in oneself, first and foremost, about one's values and authentic needs, and therefore the inability to express it oneself, therefore the inability for the other to comprehend what those authentic needs are. And the other projects onto you the needs they think you have. And they keep doing and giving according to what they think are your needs, and they're not actually your needs at all anyway. In the meantime, you don't feel like your needs are being met. So it really is crucial that you are as present as possible constantly to what is authentically arising within you. And like I said, you know, watch, because the ego is very clever. It will present to you a whole range of supposed needs which are taking you very far away from what is authentic. That's why I gave you that key point that values, your inquiry around values takes you back to what is authentic need. Kindness, truth, faithfulness, reliability. Did we say kindness already? Compassion, love, honesty, integrity, responsibility. Respect, gratitude, generosity, inclusiveness, holisticness. Anyone else like to add a few more? Gentleness. Beauty, playfulness,
harmony.
You see, there are general, shared, collective values that are relevant to us all. But every single one of us has unique attributes which lean us more distinctly towards maybe one or two or three within that whole scope of values that is so crucial to our being, to our soul. It speaks of what our soul seeks to make known consciously in this world. And it is oftentimes the thing you have struggled with most in your life.
So those difficulties and those traumas and that we've had as part of our life experience are the ones that direct us to a one particular value more than another. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's setting off a signal that your soul is saying, wake up to this, be present to this, know this, experience this.
So become an expert in this.
Become an instrument of this. Yeah.
Asara, I have been on a journey specifically with you over the last couple of months, which is about understanding my authentic self, and I've come to a realization that in the past I think I've held on to this thing of being light and love and all that, and it's actually about being really real and grounded, and I don't have to be nice all the time, and I just need to be, it's still love, but it's just from that really authentic place of me and that place of humbleness and vulnerability, that I don't have to be perfect at whatever I do. And it's such a beautiful place to be. Because when I used to get up and stand in front and talk, I was so nervous and I was so worried that maybe one word I would speak would turn people away from your meditations. And now I realize that that doesn't matter. It's just, I've just got to be myself and pass on your message. And I think a lot of us are afraid of being our authentic self because we're afraid of hurting someone else or doing something that will affect someone else. And I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity through consultations to understand that and understand myself. So, yeah, I just being real and humble and authentic is just such a gift. So thank you.
Yeah, that key point, authenticity. Authenticity. And all of those tools really help you to come into contact with how you are being authentically in this world and will point out to you what your unique attributes are, what your strengths are in terms of values, what are you really going to instrument in the world, what are you here to really know. So that framework has great relevance. Yes.
I was reading that the Venus transit, every time it occurs, there's a significant technological breakthrough in the world through the last 500 years. And I'd like to know, do you think that's occurring now? And if so, how are we to live with technology that's becoming more and more advanced and in our lives?
I actually feel that the direction technology is heading is actually reflecting that progressive journey to realizing that everything actually is connected and contained within the all, within the one. So that's my view on what is happening with technology and where it's heading. And there are developments occurring that do reflect that. So yes, we will see a major leap in the very near future that reflects that progression even more. And in the meantime, we will see, as I keep referring to this evening, the contrast, this unfolding and what we recognize as progression and what we also recognize as deconstruction certain things not working anymore. Yeah.
So taking
and that's going to be reflected also in the world of medicine.
So anything that no longer serves humanity might fall away.
Yeah. Or at least in this passage, it will experience great struggles. Great struggles will be seen. For example, you know, our monetary system. It's not that it's falling away as yet, but it is certainly going to undergo quite a passage of intense struggle.
I had this kind of insight or vision, which was to do with a snake and its skin, and that the institutions, the medical institutions, the financial institutions, the educational institutions, which are all basically dysfunctional and falling apart, is when we see what's really happening, is that we'll see that it's just like the skin of the snake. But what we're not aware of, because it's covered, is that the snake has formed itself the new, you know, vital, vibrant snake.
Well, from its innermost essence, it's still alive. It will take on a new form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why I'm pointing out, you might have noticed, it may sound a little bit subtle, but it's quite distinct, that I'm pointing out it's not a matter of necessarily, for example, our monetary system completely collapsing or vanishing. Yeah. It is going through a deconstruction. And it's not that actually the entire system itself is wrong or is failing. There are elements deep within the core of that that are still relevant and will reform and will re-merge.
But there's so much evidence of new insights and new ways to see things. It's almost like the new is exposing itself through the cracks in the skin. As the skin cracks more and more, the new thing that is emerging is showing itself to us.
Yeah, definitely.
It's great, isn't
it? In many ways.
Yeah.
In many areas of our life.
Yeah.
On planet Earth.
Aren't we lucky?
My question is, how does one perceive truth in being? Is it the same as being authentic?
You know, this is such a fascinating inquiry. And what makes it so fascinating is what seems really paradoxical about truth. It's important in that respect then to understand there are two distinct aspects of truth through our human experience. One is abiding truth, and that is that there are just universal laws that abide. No matter what your beliefs are or what your beliefs are, these laws just are. They exist. Whether you want to subscribe to believing, for example, in electricity or not, electricity exists. It functions the way it functions. That's abiding truth. So an abiding truth for you and for all of us is that in the depth of stillness and silence, when we're not engaging with the superficial level of our mind, we have an awareness of our eternal self. That's authentic being. True being. And when we occupy that state in ourself, we orient ourselves in that state, we're capable of expressing love, awareness, kindness, compassion, etc. So that's an abiding truth. The second aspect to truth in our human experience is subjective truth. So that means what is authentic for you in this moment, that perhaps it's authentic for you to pack up your job and go off travelling. And if you trust in that, you'll do exactly that. You'll pack up your job despite everyone saying, no, are you sure you're being true? You should stay here. You were so close to success and climbing the ladder. And you say, no, it's my truth to go off travelling now. In a year's time, that may not be your truth. It may be your truth to return to a job, to knuckle down and achieve some structures or some outcomes in your life. And your ability to embody that is about always being poised first and foremost in abiding truth. Your ability to be authentic at the subjective level of truth comes from your ability to maintain that access in abiding truth. If you don't have that, you will find it very, very difficult to know what is really true in you, what is really calling you. You'll get confused between your ego, your emotions, your subconscious telling you, no, I need to do this, I should do that, or I need that, compared to your soul drawing you towards something. Okay? So, always the ability to move most authentically comes from making your first point of orientation in abiding truth. Hence why every sage, every master has always emphasized the importance of you having regular meditative practice in your life, because that's the way you cultivate that connection. And it's where you will also really, really know ever more clearly the distinction between those vibrations, between stuff that's coming from the mind, the subconscious, and what is really flowing forward from the soul.
How long is the deconstruction process likely to take? Just thought I'd ask that.
How long is a piece of string? That's just so subjective. Really, it is. It's so subjective because remember I said earlier that everything is occurring simultaneously and not in the way it is perceived to be. So the progression, what we see or think of as this progression, we talk about evolution compared to devolution or deconstruction, for example. It's actually not occurring in a linear framework of time. It's all co-occurring. So in truth, we can't really say that there's even a time frame involved in that deconstruction, and yet there's all time and portions of time. There's always going to be that dynamic occurring because this is the nature of existence. It is all time is here now. So that means we may experience one or other dimension of that according to where our consciousness is at. So for you, it may seem like it happens rapidly, and suddenly you get a breakthrough. For another person, it may seem like it takes an eternity. So it's entirely subjective. Like, I can tell you now that the perception of what is going on this planet now can vary so much that one person can truly believe or feel that life has moved through to this heavenly realm, whilst there are others who are living in hell, and we're on the same planet. So that's it. That's an example of how really everything is multiverse upon multiverse upon multiverse. Every single one of us is a universe in ourselves. and is the one universe co-occurring. So, beloveds, I would like us to close with a few minutes of centering in love and in this conscious presence, the communion of our soul, and to hold the vision of sharing this communion of soul from our innermost being and with everyone in our life. And of course, with the entire planet. So take a deep breath into your innermost center. Allow yourself to take a few moments to acknowledge the presence that is the eternal self, the eternal infinite life, the entire universe that is here within you. As you breathe into this, allow yourself to recognize the depth of consciousness, the boundlessness of love and peace that is here. Here is the awareness, the knowingness of abiding truth, this one truth that flows through all things. This truth that is ever present. Feel yourself deeply poised, centered in this eternal knowingness that is forever love. That here now you are free to express this which is most authentic to the self you manifest as and with here now. How it is you are an instrument of this love and peace in the world. Feel the depth of self-embrace, self-acceptance, that allows you to be present in the world as peace. See and feel how this flows through you, through words and actions, communicated clearly from this depth of soul communion, expressed freely, openly, lovingly, gently, and deeply with all those who share life with you, with those you meet moment to moment, wherever you go. Feel the flow, the connectedness of this love and peace emanating through your being and into the world. seeing and feeling and recognizing this all-permeating peace now. Take a deep breath into your heart center, acknowledging this ever-constant source of truth, love, grace and peace that is here. And acknowledging that in this depth of centering and alignment is the way, the flow, the truth and the life of peace in action. Here now is the authentic self that is you, available as an instrument to express freely all that is aligned in this truth. Take a deep breath in as you give thanks for this gift that is you and that is life. Feel your presence of peace and the connectedness of this peace within life here now. It is. Take a deep breath into your body, feeling your form centered and aligned here as this presence and connectedness. Feel the peace flowing through your cells, through your aura, into your life, connected with everyone and everything in this peace here now. Take another deep breath into your body. Gently stretch. And open your eyes. Thank you, beloveds, for sharing in the presence of peace and awareness, and for bringing this into your life. Namaste.